This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The Supreme Court of Canada ruled Thursday that the Quebec government cannot prevent people from paying for private insurance for health care procedures covered under Medicare. In a 4-3 decision, the panel of 7 judges said banning private insurance was unconstitutional under the Quebec Charter of Rights. The case was brought by a Montreal businessman, George Zeliotis, after he waited a year for hip replacement surgery. He wanted to purchase insurance to allow him to skip the queue and pay directly for the surgery. Colleen Fuller is with the Council of Canadians, and she joins me this morning to talk about the Supreme Court decision. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
What's the basis for the Supreme Court decision?
Well, I think it's a poor decision because it basically this is what it's saying, that people who are rich are already able to buy health care. And we know that in Vancouver, for example, or all over BC, that people can buy, they can go to a surgical facility and buy an operation. But people who don't have money don't have that option. So they're forced to stand in a long line in the public system. If they were able to buy private insurance, they would be able also to access those services in the private sector. And that's basically what the charter argument was, that under the Charter of Rights, we all have an equal right to purchase private insurance and thereby access private health care.
So who is the plaintiff in this case? How did the case come about?
Well, there are two plaintiffs, actually. One is Jacques Cioli, who is a physician, and the other one is this fellow, George Zeliotis, who was a patient. And Zeliotis wanted to get the hip replacement surgery. He was told that the waiting time was 1 year, and this was in 1997, and of course he was totally outraged because the Quebec laws restricted him from accessing the service outside of the public system. And so they felt that this was a violation of their rights, and they went to court in Quebec, and they lost the case in Quebec. The Quebec courts said that there is a greater collective right, that the collective rights of society are guaranteed in the legislation. Therefore, the individual right to jump the queue is not a valid one under the Charter. They appealed that. They lost it again, and they appealed it then to the Supreme Court of Canada. And the Supreme Court, in a very, very split decision, 4-3, favored the people who were complaining.
Now, Canadians can already buy private health insurance for a number of services. What changes with this ruling?
What will change is that people will be able to buy private insurance to access services that are already covered under the public health insurance plan. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to buy insurance to access care outside of the public system, and they won't have to pay the whole shot themselves.
So it's not the typical private insurance we're used to, which is you get extra benefits as part of your employment package where you can do physiotherapy.
This, in effect, is a parallel insurance, parallel to the public system. And the great irony in the case is that the guy that brought the case, George Zeliotis, is a 73-year-old man. And in the private insurance market, he is not likely to be able to be insured because he would be an uninsurable person. The insurance industry divides people into two, the insurable and the uninsurable. They do not have universal health care insurance in the private sector, and that's why we have public health insurance. So this 73-year-old man, and any 73-year-old actually, would be considered to be uninsurable. So the Quebec court decision is naive in some ways because it assumes that the insurance industry is going to say, okay, all of you people who are not able to jump the queue because you're not rich, we will insure you. And that's not the way the system works.
So in fact, the people who will now benefit from this ruling are people, A, who have money to pay, and B, whose health is within the kind of confines that they would be insurable.
That's right. This ruling benefits the wealthy and the healthy, and that's all. It does not benefit middle-class people, and in spite of what many middle-class people feel, is that this provides them with another option. It certainly doesn't.
Now, this is interesting. So we know now who the ruling benefits. What's the counter to that? What's going to happen with the public health system as a result of this benefit?
This is a total class-based ruling. You know, the judges that the four judges are all making in six figures. They're never going to be negatively impacted by the decision that they made, and nor will most wealthy people in Canada. But for the rest of us, what is likely to happen, and we've already seen in BC the effects of private health care, and we've seen you should see the list of interveners in this case. You know, every private surgical facility in the province practically was on board as an intervener. I don't know if they contributed financially to the case, but they certainly were interveners in the case. And the reason is because they will benefit, because they'll be selling private insurance, or the insurance industry will be selling insurance to access those services. Most of us will continue to depend on a public system which will continue to shrink as the private sector grows, you know, fed by dollars from private payers. The public system is going to basically decline. The government is not going to want to continue to fund public services when there's a plethora of private services available and private insurance. So that is, over the long run, what will happen. What also will continue to happen, which has really been a negative development over the last several years, and in fact will be speeded up, is the delisting of services to these private facilities and private payers. So the private insurance industry will continue, or the pace at which services are transferred to the private sector is going to accelerate, and those of us waiting in the public system will wait longer, not shorter times.
Well, that is, I guess, kind of the irony of it. If the decision was made for the plaintiff saying it was violating his rights because he had to wait too long and therefore was a violation of his rights as a result of him gaining this benefit over other people, then other people's waiting lists will become longer?
Well, one of the peculiarities about this decision is that the courts looked at the evidence, which basically says private health care causes the public impacts the public system negatively. It looked at the evidence and said and described these as assumptions rather than evidence, which I thought was unfortunate, because really the evidence is very compelling, which looks at the impact of private health care facilities, because doctors practice now in both the public and the private system. So we have a limited number of doctors, a limited number of nurses and other health professionals who are going to be sucked out of the public system into the private system. We already have the Copeman Clinic, which is slated to open in the fall, and they're going to be paying physicians $275,000 a year to draw them out of the public system, and we'll be seeing a lot more of that. So the options in the public system begin to decline. We've seen that happen already, both in Canada and elsewhere, particularly the United Kingdom. So the court decision ignored what I thought was very, very powerful evidence that the provision of private health care services has a negative effect on the public system. And it's not that the public system is the thing that we're defending. What we're defending is the collective right to access health care on equal terms and conditions. That's what our legislation says. And what this ruling says is that this infringes on the charter rights, the human right of somebody to purchase private insurance so that they can access health care in a timely manner. Of course, timely is not defined.
So is what we are seeing, in effect, a shift away from collective rights towards individual rights?
Well, the charter, there's always been a problem with the charter in that sense. It doesn't uphold collective rights. It only upholds individual rights. And so, yes, I think that this continues a trend in that direction. And but it really, this is a kind of a decision. I hate to use the term Americanized, but in fact, this is a decision that says that basically conforms to the idea that governments are incompetent, that we can't do things on a collective basis, each man or woman for him or herself, you know, screw everyone else. And that's really the kind of decision it is. If you've got the money, then you should be able to spend it the way that you to improve your own health, not to put it into the collective, you know, to make sure everyone has access.
Now, six of the judges were evenly split on whether waitlist violated the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom, and one judge didn't express an opinion on that. What are the implications outside Quebec? Because the ruling itself was, to a large extent, reflecting the charter in Quebec.
Mm-hmm. Well, most provinces have similar provisions and legislation that prohibit the selling of private insurance for services that are on the public health insurance plan. So those provinces now will be looking at the Supreme Court decision as it pertains to Quebec and the section of the charter in Quebec. If they don't amend the legislation, their own legislation, they likely will get challenged in the same way that the Quebec government was challenged. And we have, I think there are something like 17 or 15 roughly private surgical facilities in this province, and they will challenge the provincial legislation if it's not changed. So that's the likely scenario. It doesn't affect all of Canada, but it likely will affect BC. I also should say that the progressive community in Canada is not united on its interpretation of the Quebec of the Supreme Court ruling, and there is quite a strong opinion amongst progressives that the ruling will force governments to improve the public health care system to preclude people seeking services in the private sector. And I don't share that opinion, but I understand where they're coming from. That's an optimistic scenario, I suppose. In my own view, governments have never been precluded from providing services in a timely fashion in the public system. They have, in fact, aligned themselves with the private sector. They have created opportunities for the private sector to sell services in the healthcare system. And in BC, we've really seen that with this particular government, the Liberal government. But we also saw it to some more limited extent under the NDP, that there will be opportunities for private investors in the healthcare system, and that governments see this as a part of the economy, and they want to stimulate investment in this sector of the economy. That is the reality. So nothing in the law or in their capacity, actually, even in their funding capacity, has prevented them or precluded them from ensuring that we all have access to services in a timely manner.
So if I understand what you're saying, then you're saying that there hasn't been anything tying their hands from improving the public system. So then this ruling can't be seen as a fulcrum to make them do that. There wasn't any reason holding them back before.
No, there was no reason. And in fact, I would argue very, very strongly that if provincial governments had, if the federal government had enforced the Canada Health Act, and not just the ban on extra billing and user fees, but the five criteria of the Act, which are that provincial governments, in order to get federal funding, must provide a comprehensive range of services, that these services must be accessible regardless of where you live, your income, et cetera, that these services are provided universally on equal terms and conditions to all people in the province, and that these are publicly administered. If all of the provinces had been in compliance with the criteria of the Act, I think that we would not be faced with the what many will describe as a crisis in terms of waiting times. There are people in this province who just simply de facto are not getting health care services because of where they live, as one example.
You've painted a very black picture, and it does seem like a very ominous ruling. Are there places where people can, are there pressure points that people can put on? Where should we be putting our energy now to defend and improve the public system?
Well, one of the things I think that we need to do is we have to have a much more complete analysis of what's taking place with our public services. It's not, I mean, healthcare is, you know, people, it's a very, very important public service because of all the consequences of, you know, to people's health and standard of living, basically, that if we don't have access to health care. But health care is part of a broad system. You know, we're not going to have a public health care system when everything else is being privatized. This is impossible. And what we've seen is the whole range of public services that have been privatized. We no longer have decent housing programs for people. We don't have social services that are available. Our social assistance policies are down the are practically wiped out. People are condemned to live in poverty because they can't access social assistance. So healthcare is part of this picture. It isn't separate from it. And I think on the left, and I describe myself as being part of the left, and on the left I think that we have to be much more sophisticated in how we sort of put all this together. We have to provide people with a sensible analysis of what's taking place, and we have to develop leadership amongst ourselves and to really lead a major assault on what's going on.
Well, I really appreciate your coming in this morning and talking about this ruling, and I think we really need to follow this and as you say, put some energy into developing a strong analysis and some leadership. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Colleen Fuller. She is with the Council of Canadians.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.